Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Great service department that actually needs more people. How about that? I mean, they're getting so much work, they need more people. So if you're an experienced technician, somebody looking for a fresh start, somebody that knows that Sunbury Motor is a great group to work with, or somebody looking for that first job, hey, get a hold of them. Show up in person. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com or just call Todd at 286-7746. Okay, let's start with Zach Showers, our high school roundtable. Because of the schedule this week, we've had to jury rig it a bit because I'm not going to be in on Thursday. I'm at Purdue, so we're going to do it today. And Todd, first of all, thanks. Appreciate it very much. I expected Selinsgrove Grove to win. I thought they would win by three touchdowns over Bellefonte. They did more than that. What did you think of the performance?
I mean, for week one, there's a lot of things to like and a lot of things to work on. Overall, the Selinsgrove offense was able to move the ball quite a bit. They had over 350 yards of offense and really passed the ball, had some good balance on the ground. Was kind of tempered a little bit as Selinsgrove lost Tucker Keats, their starting running back on the first play of the game. He's going to be out for a little bit of time. So that was a little bit difficult. Like I said, they were able to move the ball quite a bit. They ended up settling for four field goals, including a 40-yarder from junior kicker Carter Young. So optimistic with being able to have that kicking game at the high school level, but also a lot of just missed opportunities because, you know, you take four field goals and turn those into touchdowns and the score is a little bigger and I think closer to where at least the coaching staff thought it was going to be on Friday night.
All right, so you want to make that big improvement from game one to game two. So as you look at it, where does Selinsgrove need to be a better team moving forward?
I think a lot of that starts, this is probably a common theme across everything with the offensive line. Overall, they had a decent night. Backs were able to average 4 yards a carry. But that's just an area, a lot of times, especially without having the second scrimmage anymore, you see a lot of adjustments. You see different fronts that there needs to be communication. So anytime that you can get another week on film, be able to mix and match those guys a little bit. And then, like I said, I think just converting on red zone opportunities is probably a big thing. Defensively, Selinsgrove posted a shutout. Bellefonte didn't really move the ball too much. There's a couple plays in the passing game, I think, that they'd be able to shore up on some slants and things like that. But overall, it was a good effort, and like we normally say, the biggest improvement that you see is from week one to week two.
Yeah. No question. Give me a couple of names of guys that stood out to you where you said, you looked around and said, you know what? The guy's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. So I think just the passing game, Mark Pastore just looked like a different guy there from his sophomore to junior year. He had over 200 yards passing, just more comfortable and actually showed a little bit of mobility. Had 45 yards carrying. I know the coaches are kind of wanting him to go down a little bit more, especially at the high school level when you're trying to make plays. So he looks really comfortable. Gavin Bastian, a sophomore wide receiver, just looks like a different level athlete. He had 155 yards receiving and a nice 60-yard touchdown where he took a little, 3 to 5 yard out and just basically outran everybody down the left sideline. So that was big. And another senior, Nick Rice, who is a guy that I don't think had a catch coming into this year out of the slot, just looks really strong and making a lot of plays. And defensively, and, well, both sides of the ball, Garrett Parody, who's another senior linebacker who's put on some nice weight in the offseason. He had to jump in for Tucker Teets when he went down with the injury, and he had close to 70 yards rushing. So he's a guy that just does the little things well and looks like a better athlete than what he was last season.
So, Zach, what's important in this matchup this week?
Well, starting off, health's a big issue. Getting some of these guys healthy. Juniata's an interesting team. They had a nice win over Clearfield. When you look at the stats, they actually have kind of similar numbers to what Seelenskirk did offensively. They do a lot of different things on offense. They'll line up wide. They'll do a little option here and there. So I think it's going to be really important for the linebackers, especially just keeping their eyes at the right places and a lot of misdirection. Defensively, they have some thumpers. They have some guys that can hit and some pretty physical games. So I think it'll be a good challenge for Seelenskirk, especially with Jersey Shore the week after. You're going to see a physical running attack. But they also have some athletes on the outside that you're going to have to be cognizant of. You're not going to be able to just put eight guys in the box and say, stop the run.
Always great to have you with us. Appreciate Zach very much.
Absolutely. Thank you as always.
All right, Greg, let's get to Lewisburg here. I mean, look, I think it's really hard to say that, you know, people don't really, every game takes on its own personality. Mm-hmm. I was a little taken aback just from 30,000 feet that it was a low-scoring game. How did you view it?
I was too, to be honest with you. I think some of that was first game, Steve. Shamokin was down in the red zone numerous times, but Lewisburg stopped and their defense stepped up and made some stops and actually created a turnover. Lewisburg was in the red zone a couple of times and came away with one touchdown. So offenses were a little behind the defenses in the game, realistically. Shamokin had a good running game, but they didn't pass the ball well. They didn't need to against Lewisburg that night because they ran the ball for over 300 yards. But I was surprised it was such a low-scoring game.
Yeah. Now, that bodes well for the defense. So let's start with some of the positives there. What did you say?
Realistically, Steve, flowing to the ball. That was excellent on Lewisburg's part. Except for the second play of the game, they really did not give up a lot of long runs. They gave up some 7-8 yard runs, but they didn't give up like the 25, you know, the big chunk plays. Tackling, they missed some tackles, over pursuing. So I think that's something they'll work on this week in staying in your lanes, you know, not over pursuing the ball carrier. Linebackers played well, and defensive line got some penetration when they needed to and came up with some big plays. So overall, defensively, I don't think there's a lot to work on in terms of their scheme, what they've been wanting to do. They played a lot of kids defensively. When the game started, there were 7 kids going both ways. But during the course of the game, kids were lost to cramping, things like that, because it was very warm that night. And there was a freshman defensive back. I can't think of his first name right now. It just escapes me, but Kingdom, he was number 26. He played really well as a freshman in his first game covering a senior wide receiver. He did an excellent job, broke up 2 passes, made a couple of tackles, did an excellent job defensively. So I think the coach found out there's some depth there that he can play maybe more kids one way than he has to.
I'm going to guess over pursuit is because it's opening night. Because you and I both know if it continues, then teams will start to use that against them.
That's exactly right. And guess what? They went up against a senior runner who had great patience and was just waiting for his blocks. And he waited for those people to run by him. He cut back and run and, you know, turn it upfield. You think, oh, that's going to be a 1-2 yard gain. And all of a sudden, it's a 7-8 yard gain. So, yeah, I'm sure that's going to be used in practice. I know they're going to work on that drill in practice this week.
So the offensive part of it. Right. Look, offenses are going to be behind defenses usually.
Right.
All right. Did you see anything offensively? You sat back and said, you know what? They can build upon that. They just have to work at it.
Yes. Wide receiver Trent Wenrick, he was getting good. He was getting open a lot of times during the evening. And the other one was tight end Jack Blau. Had a real good game. And why that's big is Cam Michaels, because of an injury this year to their top running back, Cam Michaels has been thrust into a running back wide receiver role. Everybody Lewisburg plays knows Cam Michaels is the guy they're going to go to. When he went out wide, there were two guys on him. When he was in the slot, there were two guys on him. If he'd go in motion, they'd have a guy follow him, plus the safety would move over. So everybody knew that. When he was in the backfield, they figured, hey, Cam's getting the ball. They keyed in on him. So knowing other guys can do a job now, I think that's going to really help their offense down the line. And the coach is going to have to make some adjustments.
So now week two comes up. What will be important in this matchup?
Oh, boy. Ball control to keep the ball away from Jersey Shore, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, the last year we played these guys, they ran 52 plays in the first half. In a 28-minute...
They're explosive. They are explosive.
Very explosive. They put up 55 points in Pottsville. They are excellent defensively. They run a play about every 15 seconds. They're going to be running a play. And what they'll do is if that play works on first down, guess what they're going to run on second down? The same play.
Same play.
And till you stop it. And they're just going to keep going at a frantic pace. They have two quarterbacks, one of them that can really run the ball well. The other is a little better passer. Loomis is a little better passer. But Brady Jordan, he's only 5'7", but boy, he can run the football like a tailback. And with Hayden Packer back in the backfield, he's about 6 feet, 210 pounds. They're just going to run us. They saw the fatigue factor set in last week with the cramping, and that we need to control the football, keep the ball away from Jersey Shore. And that's easier said than done.
Right.
Yeah.
And a little lonely in there today, though, right?
It is. The Chief's not here with me today.
Well, we got the Chief on the phone. Dave, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm sitting down here in Mechanicsburg, babysitting my grandsons and enjoying a nice steady rain.
That is, you got your grandson. That's the big part. Dave, that was really an exciting game on Friday night. It didn't go the way Shikellamy wanted to. You get into something like that, is there too much heartbreak in a game like that, or is there positivity in a game like that?
Well, there definitely was positivity in the fact that they scored four touchdowns. I had said all week I thought we would score four touchdowns, and with that I thought we'd be able to win. Disappointing factor was we were had the entire second half by 7 points, and with 15 seconds to go, to a little bit of blown coverage in the secondary, Central Columbia scored the touchdown and got the extra point to tie. So that was disappointing. And, you know, both of those teams, Central and Shikellamy, had rough years last year, and they both put some points on the board, and their defenses, believe it or not, I thought played well. So, there, like I said, a lot of things positive, but there's the disappointment that you had a win within your grasp, and it got away on them.
All right, so where do they need to be a better team to make the next step with this week coming up?
Well, everybody knew that Coach Kaiser had a decision to make when they scored their touchdown in overtime, whether to kick an extra point and tie it or go for two and win. And he went for two, and they almost pulled it off.
Sure.
The best reason was the fact that Chickalimmie only had two first downs in that entire football game. Their special teams and defense did a lot for them, and an 80-yard run by Isaac Schaefer Knights really helped too. So I would say the offense has to be able to be more, the word I want to use, have a more profound effort to get grind out the first downs, get some good running plays, and Central just basically put a lot of pressure on our freshman quarterback, and the Braves, I think, only completed two passes. So the offense has a lot to get themselves back into the swing of things. And they can do it. It's just one of those situations that the momentum really got on Central's side, but the Braves turned around and came back and would answer to that, and eventually in the end Central pulled it out. But the defense played very well, Steve. There were some blown coverages in the secondary, but overall they did an excellent job. And like Greg said, we had 10 what I would call cramp timeouts, and they were all our kids, and they were all our defensive starters. And there were times when we lost a couple of kids for a couple of plays, and you make hay while the sun shines if you're Central's offense, and they did that.
Yeah, I was about to ask that. That was actually going to be my next question, because I mean, it's been a really humid week, and it's probably going to be pretty humid on Friday night as well. Other than more Gatorade, more water, what do they need to do to keep these kids on the field?
Well, I'll tell you what the trainer told me. They have to start hydrating all week long. You can't wait until the day of the game or the day before the game. And that's something, Steve, how much water are we supposed to drink as adults every day that we do not do that, okay?
Right.
And these kids just have to maybe discipline themselves to do that. That's what I would think would be the most important thing for them to do. I do believe that Friday night, I don't think we're going to have the humidity. I think that's coming back this weekend, so that could help. But it's I guess it's more on the side of the individual players to, just drink a lot of water all week long. And I think that will help a lot.
How do you view the matchup?
Well, the Mifflin County football team, and doing this on a Tuesday, I haven't seen any of their games on Hub.
Right.
But I will tell you that they knocked off Central Mountain 14-7, and that was, I think, one of their first wins in a long time. That was the battle between two teams that had rough years, just like Central and Chickalimmie did. And Mifflin County came out ahead. So I think they've got a little bit of an incentive, a little bit of motivation there, and they're probably pretty up this week. So I don't know a lot about them, Steve. I apologize for that.
That's fair.
I just know that it's a long trip out to Lewistown, and the kids are going to have to be ready to play right from the start. I would say this. We had the very first play of the game for Chickalimmie was an offensive play, and it was a pass over the middle of the tight end that was complete, and the defensive back from Central Columbia took the ball off of the receiver. And I tell you what, I think that set the stage for the first half for Central. So I think if the Braves come out and they can do something like that or get the ball and take it down the field and score, that's going to have a lot to say on who's going to win that football game Friday night.
Well, once the suit gets back from Montauk, I'm sure he'll be completely ready for the game. All right, so, thanks so much. Take good care of that grandson, okay?
Well, I got two of them down here, and I will, Steve. Thank you. I'm doing it, all right?
So, thank you, my friend. Appreciate you very much.
All right, take care. Bye.
Dave Ritchie, Greg Wetzel, Zach Showers. High School Roundtable, Jerry Dulac, next half hour. Thanks for joining us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
A dance and a smile at the end, and we'll see the twirl now. You saw the joy and the relief and how much fun it was to find that level of play.
Chris Fowler last night, he was on with Chris Evert and John McEnroe as Serena Williams won her opening round match at the U.S. Open. She will play again. All of her matches are scheduled for 7 o'clock. It's deliberate. They put it in a spot because they know people want to watch her knowing this is the last go-round. She will play at 7 tomorrow night. And we'll see. She played very well last night. Very well. Which I think a lot of people did not expect based on how she played recently. But last night, she was on top of it. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online. SunburyMotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a great service department. They need more technicians than ever. If you're somebody that's experienced, you want to move over to the best entry-level technician looking for that first job, someone looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com or call Todd at 286-7746. My good friend Jerry Dulac on the show with us. Jerry, how you been?
Steve, I am very well, my friend, and I hope you are too. I know you're getting ready for a busy couple days, and I'm sure an exciting couple days for you.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to it. So I want to break this down into a couple parts. I want to start with the Steeler part, and then we'll get to the LIV Golf part because there are more people flowing in that direction.
Right, right.
So let's get to the Steeler part of it. Mike's press conference today, there's really nothing to talk about, really, in that press conference. But let's start with the acquisition of Reed from Denver and what you think that can mean, because in Denver, with a new coaching staff, guys like him are going to move around.
Well, I think, Steve, it was a really good pickup for him. And by that, I mean it's a guy who started enough games in the NFL, has some modest production, but enough production to be a quality backup, and it's something they didn't have. This isn't Melvin Ingram, and that's both a good and bad thing. You know, it's not a guy with his pedigree, but it's also not a guy who's going to come in and expect to be a regular, and when he's not being used a lot, is not going to like it. So that was part of Melvin Ingram's problem, but in Melvin Ingram's defense, he felt he was lied to when he signed here, signed with the Steelers, that he was going to be a guy who was going to rotate in with the starters. And then, of course, you know, when there was some injuries early in the season and he played a lot, he just thought that's what his role was going to continue to be, when in fact that wasn't going to be it. But he claimed privately that that was misrepresented to him, and that's what upset him. That won't be the case with Malik Reed. I mean, he's coming in to be a backup. He's not a guy. He started enough games in Denver, but, you know, part of that is because of injuries and circumstances. But he has that experience that they just don't have, you know, at the most important position on the defense behind their two starters. And so I thought it was a really good pickup for him. They didn't give up a lot. They swapped sixth and seventh round picks next year to get him. So I thought, you know, considering the importance of that position, that was a move they had to make. They had to bring in a guy like that. And to me, it's like the exact type of player they need to acquire as a backup who doesn't cost them a whole lot.
And they also decided not to make a move with Mason Rudolph, a lot like the Niners decided not to make a move with Jimmy Garoppolo. What's your thought on that?
Well, you know, as for the 49ers, and I know you're not asking me about them, I get that one because, you know, you're putting in Trey Lance, who we've heard Joe Montana and Steve Young say is not ready to play. And so, but they have to play him after what they gave up to move up to get him. And it's going to be the same thing with Kenny Pickett at some point in time, Steve. When you draft a quarterback number one in today's NFL, at some point in time, whenever that is, he's going to be the starter no matter who the guy is in front of him. And so, I mean, that's how Mitch Trubisky ended up here, because the Bears drafted Justin Fields, and after 4 years with the Bears and after being a number one pick, you know, they let Mitch Trubisky go. He signed 1 year with the Bills, and now, of course, he ends up here. I think it's a good move by the Steelers because I think they learned their lesson in 2019, Steve. You know, they traded Josh Dobbs, their number three quarterback, to Jacksonville for a fifth-round pick. Jacksonville had injuries at quarterback. They desperately needed a quarterback, and so the Steelers were able to get a fifth-rounder for Josh Dobbs, and they traded him. Well, a couple weeks later, Ben Roethlisberger gets injured in week two for the season, and they end up with an unproven Mason Rudolph, who had never taken a snap in an NFL game, and a tryout quarterback, Duck Hodges. And because of that, they then had to trade a number one pick to get Minka, a future number one pick, to get Minka Fitzpatrick to solidify their defense, because they knew they were going to struggle offensively with those two quarterbacks. They don't want to make that same mistake again. You know, while Kenny Pickett is ahead of where they thought he would be and has looked good in the preseason, and I will note it's the preseason, I don't think they want to get caught in that position again. And so, you know, Mason Rudolph gives them that solidity they're looking for at that position with three guys. And, you know, he has one more year on his contract. He'll move on after this year. Does Mason Rudolph like being demoted to number three, if in fact that's where he ends up? We'll find out during the week, you know, with game with practice reps and then how they dress him in a game. Probably not. But, you know, as of right now, unless they get some ridiculous offer for Mason Rudolph, which I doubt they will, they do not plan to trade him at all.
All right, so when you looked at them play, and it's just preseason games, but at least it's something to judge from, what did you think of the three?
I'm sorry, Steve, of the what?
I said, what did you think of the three? Even though it's just preseason games, what did you think of it? I mean, what did you think?
I from watching in practice, too, just about every day, and then seeing the games, as I said, Kenny Pickett looked better than, I don't want to say than I thought he would be. I didn't see a lot of him, Steve, in college. You know, Saturday, I'm traveling a lot to games, and even though he played here in town, I saw his highlights, but I didn't sit down and watch him play, so I didn't have a good feel for maybe how good he might be. I will tell you, he has a lot of traits that you look for in starting NFL quarterbacks. You know, he makes quick decisions. He can get rid of the ball quickly. He can throw on the run. He's a fairly accurate passer. In fact, seems to be a very accurate passer, 80% completion in the preseason. So I think he's ahead of where he is. You saw Mitch Trubisky just slowly get better. His first drive in the preseason was a touchdown. His last drive in the preseason was a touchdown. Both of them long, one 90-yard drive, the other a 92-yard drive. And you see his mobility. You see his ability to extend plays. You see his ability to throw on the run. You know, Mitch Trubisky came out as the number two overall pick for a reason, and you see those qualities in him. Is he going to be Ben Roethlisberger? No. Certainly not a young Ben Roethlisberger, but his ability to move around gives that offense an entirely different look. And, you know, Mason Rudolph is it showed that he's a guy who looks most comfortable in the offense because, you know, he's been in it for 4 years. And he's probably day in and day out been their most consistent quarterback in training camp. So the three quarterbacks, Steve, had a combined passer rating of 112 in the preseason, meaning they all played very well. So they go into the season looking at that position, like not having a lot of question marks, just kind of seeing how it's maybe going to all evolve, you know, into the regular season.
No, they weren't going to update any injuries today anyway, but they did play some of those guys in the last game against Detroit. A couple of them did get bumped up, including T.J. Watt. What were your thoughts there?
Yeah, I was surprised they played T.J. Obviously, he didn't play any preseason games last year, and last time I checked, he had a pretty good year as defensive player of the year. So yeah. I don't really think he needed to play. I wouldn't have played Najee Harris. I wouldn't. I get why Cam Hayward played, although I don't get why he played the whole first half, because he didn't play the week before and he wanted to get some time. But I wouldn't have played those guys. T.J. Watt ends up getting hurt, but I will tell you he's fine. You know, he was on the practice field today. You know, and it wasn't like a hard practice, but he was out there. Deontay Johnson gets hurt. We'll see about him. I was told that he should be okay. And, you know, they have that whole extra week, too. But we'll see with him. I just think with some of those guys, you just don't need to do that. And I didn't think Deontay Johnson probably needed to play either. But, you know, even if he goes in there for a little bit and gets hurt on one of the plays, what's it matter if he plays 8 plays or 18, you know? So, you know, that's always a tough line to walk. And coaches understand that that could happen, but they also only have 3 games, and they want to make sure these guys get some snaps before the regular season. But I don't know. When you look at the guys who are really important to the team, and that being T.J. Watt and Najee Harris, I wouldn't have played them. But that's me.
Yeah, no, I understand completely. I think he already knows how to play. That's just me.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead, Jerry.
And I don't think, Steve, Najee Harris getting 4 carries and getting tackled or getting hit is going to make a difference on how he might get hit September 11th in Cincinnati.
Now for the Liv Gall story. Cameron Smith going was no surprise. At the Open at St. Andrews, the story was already circulating. Popular guy like Harold Varner III goes, Tringali goes. I mean, there are more guys making the trek in that direction. And this is after Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods stood before their peers and talked about the PGA Tour. What's your thought on all of this?
Well, and don't forget Joaquin Niemann, who really
Niemann, very popular.
And even proven, but still an up-and-coming star. And so now you have guys, Steve, who are not, and not to denigrate them, but you don't have guys like Bubba Watson, Guy and Lee Westwood and Ian Poulter, guys who feel maybe they can't beat the young guys anymore. These are guys who are the best on the PGA Tour or among the best, and certainly with Cam Smith. And that one, to me, is the biggest signing of all. You know, Brooks Koepka's been fighting injuries. You know, that was a big name, of course. And we have a bunch of other guys. But when you get those 3 and you put Cameron Tringali in there as well, And you're still going to see a few more. That was, you know, the report was all along was that after the FedEx Cup playoffs, you're going to see even more of a defection. And yes, you knew it was going to be Cam Smith. But that one, I don't want to say it really hurts the PGA Tour, but you add that one with those other guys, and now you started to peck away at some of the young talent on the PGA Tour. And yeah, they still have their stars, but you know, when you look at Dustin Johnson and when you look at Bryson DeChambeau, and now you have Cam Smith and throw the other guys in there and even a Joaquin Niemann, you know, there's a lot of guys with some star power, and that includes Bubba, who have made the jump, and of course Phil Mickelson as well. I think the PGA Tour will miss Phil Mickelson's presence. And just to digress for a second, Steve, all along what Phil Mickelson has said, his message that he was excoriated for is exactly what has happened. All of a sudden, the PGA Tour has come up with millions and millions and millions of dollars, and that was Phil Mickelson's point all along, and that's what's come to fruition, and I find it somewhat ironic that a lot of the things that the tour is doing right now with this new program really kind of copies what the LIV, the Live Golf Tour is doing. And, I don't know what the tour was supposed to do at the start, but, I just at the start of all this, but I just think it's been, I think they've mishandled it. I think the two sides need to come together because, let's face it, it's created a contentious environment in golf. How about Rory McIlroy saying the other day he doesn't know if he can, quote, stomach seeing these guys, in, you know, when they play in some of these World Golf Championship events. I mean, that's a strong statement, and that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I think he feels unfortunate that he thinks that way, but it is. It's unfortunate, and it's not good for golf.
And that's the first thing I thought of when I saw what the PGA was going to do. I said, that's exactly what Mickelson's been telling them to do. And yeah, he's right. The bad guy. And he's the bad guy.
Right, right. And he, as it turns out, I mean, you know, he's no dummy. He's been around a long time. You know, he has the, you know, the strength and conviction to say those things, you know, and he says things sometimes that people don't like. But, I mean, there's a reason why he's one of the most popular players with his talent. He's been around a long time. He, you know, he's all for the quality of the game. And yet he sees what he felt were inequities with the tour relative to the support of the players. And now all of a sudden it comes to fruition. And, you know, like I said, he was the bad guy before. But everything he said is now is exactly what he's been championing, how the tour is reacting right now.
Yeah, and finally on that, the one thing I don't want to see that happen to the PGA Tour, just from a slice of history, is for years, CART and IndyCar IRL split. And for example, the Mario Andretti's of the world and other great drivers weren't driving in the Indy 500. And car racing has never recovered. Fans want to see, no matter how old he is, Mickelson playing in the Masters. They want to see Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka play in the U.S. Open. Whether they're contenders or not, they're still draws. And I just hope this doesn't do permanent damage where you have that kind of split where now the fans don't see those kind of stars in the biggest events.
I agree with you 100%, Steve. And, you know, you talk about DeChambeau. He's a young guy who just won the U.S. Open a couple years ago. You look what Brooks Koepka did, winning four times in 2 years, four majors. I mean, these are big name players, and you know, and now you factor in, you know, not to mention Phil Mickelson and two-time Masters champ Bubba Watson, who's another very popular player, you know, amongst the fans. You could see the types of players they are going after, and that is the guys who were very popular, and that's what they're trying to do: bring attention to their sport, and you know, with guys, and now you throw in again Cam Smith. And Joaquin Neiman, you know, there's Taylor Gooch, who had a strong start to the year on the PGA Tour. You know, so you're getting a lot of guys now who were top 100 players, if not top 50 players. And yeah, it's just not a good thing for golf. There's no question about it. I'm still curious to see how the majors are going to treat it. And they pay lip service to it right now, but I think when push comes to shove, I really don't think they're going to deny these guys the opportunity to play in a U.S. Open or Masters or British Open. That's what they say, but we'll see what happens when the time comes.
My friend, always a pleasure. Any moment I get to spend with you, I really enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Well, Steve, you are welcome. I'm looking forward to Thursday night and seeing what Penn State has.
Same here. Same here. Jack and I feel the same way. Let's see what's in the tank.
Absolutely. Give my best to Hammer. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks, Jer.
You got it, Steve.
Jerry Dulac, best in the business. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, great to have you with us here in the final few moments of the show today. Tomorrow we're going to have a fun one. Nellie Gillis, producer of the 30 for 30 on the longest game, is going to join us. John Crispin tomorrow. Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football tomorrow. Neil Coulong tomorrow. And thought the Sioux would appreciate me throwing in the cart IRL thing. I thought that was a good analogy. So
get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
But I also think it's an accurate analogy. The Indy 500 really went down in prestige because the big names weren't there, and I don't feel like they've ever recovered. You know, I mean, one after another, all the big names went to CART, and they were excluded from the Indy 500. So you went for years, and you're not seeing Michael Andretti, Mario Andretti, and a long list of them. And, you know, you're looking around, and, I mean, no offense, but Ari Leyendijk's your best guy. Okay. That doesn't draw eyeballs to the set. And golf has got to be careful that they don't go in that direction. They need to find some middle ground. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, picked up by the Eagles today. And that is a big move for them in their secondary.
Bingo!
And they only send a 2023 fifth-round pick. I mean, that's the top out. The worst they do is that they lose 2 6-round picks.
Bingo! Right.
So, now, on the other part is they Anthony Harris is out. Played 6 years with the Vikings and then played in 14 games with the Eagles last year. And one thing you'll see with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he's really good at covering the slot. Really good at covering the slot. That makes a big difference in that Eagles defense or for any defense. Big lineup coming up tomorrow. Thanks to everybody in the roundtable today. Zach, Greg, the Chief, and also our thanks to Jerry Dulac here at the end. Today's show has been brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.